C4. Number 1B.
So I come to another subject, namely to the subject of structural science. I said before that the concept of a science is changing constantly, that what has been considered science 200 years ago, something different than what has been considered science 50 years ago, and that what is considered science today is very different from what it has been considered even during the last World War. The concept of science has changed enormously. So I just indicate quickly the changes that have taken place. I'm not a philosopher on science, but I just can, for the layman, perhaps indicate a few characteristics that we have to consider. The classical concept of science, and by this I mean that concept of science which was valid up to the 40s or 50s of this century, was really that which we have usually in our dictionaries. John Dolly used those concepts of science as given in Webster and Oxford Dictionary, where science is depicted as knowledge reduced to law and embodied in system. This was John Dolly's concept of science. He was pioneering in Christian Science to show that the whole subject of God could be reduced to a system. As Mrs. Eddy has said it, that she has reduced divine metaphysics to a system, to a form adaptable to the present age, and he has shown that, how divine metaphysics can be embodied in system and so complies with the definition of science. Even later on, we were seeing that the Oxford definition of science would also apply to our investigation, namely that science includes trustworthy methods for the discovery of new truths within its own domain. And we began to realize how Mrs. Eddy always says that science reveals, that it doesn't say God reveals, that science reveals. Therefore, that in a science, when we state that science clearly, we have the seed bed, so to say, for elaborating or discovering new truths within the system of that science. But with the 50s and 60s of our century, scientists in general and also artists became aware that we must get away from the analytical sense of science and that we must get the structural sense of science. And under structural sense of science, we can perhaps quote Gronowski, who said that science is not a fact-finding activity, that would be analysis, but a fact-arranging activity, that would be ordering the facts, therefore putting stress on order, on relationship, arrangement of facts, and not just contemplating the facts. You can see there is a terrific change from a substantialistic concept, namely investigating facts, and the relational concept of science, investigating relations instead of the facts. Peter Kohs, for instance, has defined science this way, and here we find now the structural concept. He said that science has a function of organizing the totality of experience into a coherent whole. Can you see the complete difference? Instead of reducing to laws and system, he sees the purpose of a science to organize the totality of the facts into a coherent whole. Can you see, he tries to show that science is engaged in showing the place value of the facts within the whole and bringing them back to the whole, making it an integral part of the whole. Or later on, Bronowski, in that wonderful book on structure in science and arts, explains it this way. He says, we are no longer preoccupied with the mere facts. This was the classical method of science, starting with the French rationalists and then developing and developing into the classical science of the mid-century of this year. Then it broke. So he said, I have to read it again, we are no longer preoccupied with the mere facts, but with the relations which the facts have with one another. Can you see? Relation. It's relational concept, relational consciousness that constitutes science. He goes on with the facts that but with the relations which the facts have with one another, with the whole which they form and fill, not with the parts. Can you see again? Here it is, that tendency to show really science has to organize all the parts as so as to make a coherent whole, to investigate the relation of the parts to the whole, and that in that relational concept, which is now accentuated, lies the meaning of science today. It is quite natural that when we have a different concept of science, therefore investigate the subject with a new concept of science, that therefore a different method is necessary. We cannot use the old method of science to investigate the new concept of science. We need a new method in order to discern and to explain the whole, quite different than when we were trying to analyze the whole so as to see the parts. So the structural method is a different method. So we not only have a new concept of science, but also a new concept of method that is necessary in order to tackle the textbook if we want to see it in a structural way. When I say structure, then this certainly reminds you of the wonderful seminar we had in 1973, which I said is, so to say, the climax of the teaching of today. And we were considering there over hours and hours the meaning of structure and structuralism. So I just want quickly to summarize what is meant by structure and structuralism, so that when we go on in our subject on the structure of the Christian Science textbook, we know what we mean with the term. So I summarize structure and structuralism quickly. Structure comes from the term to arrange, to fit together. See, at once it has to do with relation. It's the fitting together in order to make sense, and not just fitting together for the sake of fitting together. We see that structuralism therefore has nothing to do with those relationships which have no meaning, no purpose, no aim, which are just random relationships, which are just combining ideas for the sake of combining them without having a whole which is given to this combination a meaningful aim. The definition which Webster gives on structure is that structure is the interrelationship of parts, you see at once, that apparently structure is that which is necessary for the new concept of science, because structuralism is interested in relationship or interrelationships of parts, not investigating the parts, but the relationships. I go on in the definition and repeat again that structure is the interrelationship of parts as dominated by the general character of the whole. Can you hear the new sense of science? The parts and the whole. Perhaps you remember that one of the latest books that Heisenberg, that terrific brain, that wonderful philosopher, scientist and physicist has written has the title, The Part and the Whole. And he brings out beautifully there the great question of physics. Is the whole important? Is the part important? What's the relationship of the whole to the part? And what is the relationship of the part to the whole? And unless we can resolve that, physics will be a danger. Another definition by Weiser, who is a cybernetician, is very illustrative. He says, structure should be understood to mean a network of relationships. Again, you have relationships. A network of relationships of elements or of elementary processes. Structure appear where elements combine. You hear again, combine, combination, but not at random. See, most of what has been done by the Dolly Group is combining at random, making things fit. Whereas structuralism says you can't combine at random. You can only combine at random, only combine in order to bring out a purposeful whole. So his wording is, structure appear wherever elements combine into a meaningful whole, whose arrangements follow definite laws. And that is what we want to see in the textbook, that when every chapter reiterates the seven synonymous terms, that each chapter will reiterate them in a different way, will show completely different combinations, but that those combinations are defined very clearly and very specifically within the purpose of a chapter, and not just taking any ideas and any synonymous term and combine them just because everyone can be combined with every other one. There must be more to that than just to combine them. There must be meaningful purpose in it in order to bring out the purpose of the whole. Jean Piaget, which I have quoted 2 years ago in my Christmas letter, he summarizes structuralism as a method of approaching structural science like this, that he says structure must have at least three key tones, three key ideas, he calls them, namely, first, wholeness. That one has always to go out from wholeness, never from the part. Second, the idea of transformation. Third, the idea of self-regulation. Terrific. You know what the textbook does? Exactly that. It goes out from the whole, always from the capitalized term. Say from the three, from the seven synonymous terms, they stand for the whole, for one God, for the infinite being. Goes out from the whole. But every time they are used within the textbook, they are transformed into ideas, into specific ideas of the seven synonymous terms, which are adapted to the situation, to the chapter. Therefore, these ideas do not repeat themselves from chapter to chapter. They are in every chapter unique and do not repeat themselves. And by doing that, you have the third key idea, namely of self-regulation, that only when we see the adapted, the transformed idea of the seven synonymous terms, that they are the power that can resolve the opposite, that they can regulate the divine system and keep it in harmony, in balance, in a homeostasis and homeorasy. That's what the textbook wants to show, that there is a science of change, not a science of stagnation or a science of a static sense, but that it's a science of change. Think a science that regulates the change. Mrs. Eddy speaks about the science that regulates these changes. Yeah, I think that's the way she puts it. Showing that science is not just stating a system, which is static, but is showing how that system restructures itself constantly, never repeating itself as a structure. So that through the self-regulation and transformation, a system becomes structure, and therefore never repeats itself, therefore there is never a repetition in the Christian Science textbook. The subjects don't repeat themselves. The subject of mind in the first chapter just doesn't repeat itself anymore through the whole textbook. The subject of spirit in the second chapter never repeats itself through the whole textbook. And yet they have their definite place, value, and regulate the problems that are stated in those chapters. So in this way we begin to see the purpose of structuralism and giving us a structural consciousness with which we can detect really the deeper import of the textbook. Quite the deeper import than just the atomistic reading of the textbook. When we see that, then we see that whatever we study, in whatever study and consciousness and treatment we are engaged, no matter which idea, specific idea we contemplate with a structural sense, we will always contemplate them within the whole and never as a specific idea per se. And this is what the Gestalt theory teaches, that the Gestalt theory shows that the moment we would like to analyze the whole and break it up in the parts, that the parts are no more apart. They lose the sense of being part of the whole. Let me just perhaps quote one or the other definition of Gestalt, for instance from the American Heritage Dictionary. Gestalt is a unified symbolic configuration having properties that cannot be derived from its parts. Can you see that? Gestalt, the whole configuration is something that cannot be arrived at through the addition and addition and addition of the parts. That it is much more than the parts. Or the Encyclopedia of Cybernetics says, the basic idea is that the parts of a shape only have meaning by the fact that they belong to a whole. If we consider the textbook from the point of view of having one definite gestalt, then we can no more read one sentence in the textbook without seeing how it is related to the whole, or we break it up in our consciousness. That is, a shape cannot be split up into its element without losing the meanings which it possessed as a whole. I think that's enough what I have quoted just to reinforce again what structuralism and a structural approach of the textbook means, and that it's completely different, that approach, than the approach in the ordinary classical way of atomistic insight, of atomistic ideas, knowing atomistic ideas. Let me just go through those characteristics of structure again in a summary, in a resume. structuralism, or structural method, or structural approach, or structural science, whatever is meant by it, shows a great difference compared with the old sense of science. The old sense of science is a substantialistic investigation. It investigates the substances of the parts. In Christian Science, it investigates what are the ideas. What are the ideas of mind? What are the ideas of spirit? It's that investigation, a substantialistic investigation. It's investigating the parts. The structural concept is investigating relation. It investigates the relationship of parts. Be it the parts of one idea with the other idea, be it the investigation of one chapter with the whole textbook, or the relationship of one chapter with another chapter, all what has to do with relationship and interrelationship, inter-enacting, it has to do with structuralism, with a structural approach. And this is not the unique to Christian Science, but is today the general approach in all the sciences and in art. Both science and art today have a structural approach. Therefore, if we investigate the textbook structurally, we'll not try to arrive at conclusions by adding here a fact, there a fact, here an insight, there an insight. Therefore, by heaping one fact on top of the other fact until we have a whole heap of facts. That's usually the usual approach of Christian Scientists. In the structural approach, we always keep the whole in view. Even if we investigate the parts, we only investigate it from the point of view of the whole. We investigate the relation to the whole. Therefore, our approach is an approach of integration and not of analysis. This is a completely different approach because we all have been educated through the schools to use the method of analysis. We had a subject and we said, let's analyze it. And so we analyzed it to the nth part. And when we have analyzed it to the nth part, we felt satisfied and felt, now I know the parts. Today, we go further than that. We do that first, but that's only the first step. Then we consider how these parts are related to each other and to the whole. We integrate the part again into the whole, so that the whole remains whole and is not disintegrated. Can you see what it means, say, if you investigate the idea man? You don't want to ever disintegrate the concept of man. We don't want to disintegrate. We want to have an integral sense of man, of any subject. Structure, that does investigate all the relationships, and therefore not only the relationship of a sequence, is therefore no more linear in thinking. The moment you have interrelationship of one part to the other, you have no more a linear development where you go out from a point and then to the next and then to the next and to the next and to the next, like in the days of creation, where you start with the first day, the second day, and finally arrive at the seventh day, and the day of rest, and you say, now I got it. In the structural approach, we never have a linear sequence, therefore no diachronic sequence. In structure, everything is synchronic. At the very moment, everything is there. Because each part is related to the other part. The seventh day is related to the first day, the seventh day is related to the third day, the seventh day and the sixth day is related to the second day. Each synonymous term is related to the other synonymous term, and therefore there is no more sequence, it's structure, relationship, therefore it's synchronic, And we have to use a completely different approach in our consciousness, a synchronic approach. And no more a diachronic approach. Diachronic means a time-wise concept, a sequential concept. And here we have suddenly the comprehensive view, where we always consider the whole at once, in one moment, in one view, and within that one is the relationship of all parts. Therefore, what we see with the structure of the Christian Science textbook is therefore the synergy principle, which Bucky Fuller uses so much, the synergy principle which says that the whole is much bigger than the sum of its parts, because the whole is parts plus relationship. So can you see what I tried to do this week is to train and culture your consciousness much more in considering relationships than parts. But when we see structure, we have to see that we are, and therefore are no more looking at parts. We also have to see that therefore our consciousness demands a categorical consciousness. It demands that we think in categories and no more in isolated facts. In order to really see the interrelationships, we have to categorize our knowledge into categories and see the interrelationship of categories. Yes. So if we see that, suddenly you will be asked not to think anymore in sentences of a chapter, but of the whole category of a chapter, of the whole category of four chapters together, therefore in categories and no more in parts. Yes, that's the structural approach, and tomorrow we'll go on and investigate this approach with the textbook closer.